Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next-door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi, welcome back. We've got an amazing guest with us today, Kai Simmons. She's been someone that I've been speaking to and met a few times since about, you know, third quarter last year, just about all things wellness, her journey in terms of, you know, yoga, spirituality, her journey from corporate or traditional jobs to kind of following her passion. And we're super excited to have you here, Kai, because we'd love to have your take on everything we talk about: spirituality, money, abundance, what's normal, inverted commas. So welcome.
Thanks for joining me. I'm super excited to talk about finance and abundance with women.
Yes, how cool is that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe that it's still a thing.
Yeah. In the 21st century, in 2023, we're still the rare women.
We're excited. Because we're women.
Exactly. Where should we start?
Yeah, so actually, it would be amazing if you could kind of start with what drove you to move away from your job, or not necessarily move away, but pursue something that you're passionate about, and how was your path?
Yeah, so coming from a teaching background, coming from a corporate background, but at the same time having experienced burnout, anxiety, panic attack, health issues because I wasn't taking care of my health or my well-being, I started that path only as a way to kind of heal myself or get better for myself. And then I started to realize, like, there's so much information about these things that I never knew and that I'm just so passionate about sharing with others. And so it really started off as a journey for me just to heal myself, just for me to get better. But a lot of the times I would try to go to a doctor and I would ask for these. I went the very traditional route. I just wasn't getting answers. They're like, "Yo, you're stressed. Oh, you're anxious." And I was like, "Okay, so what do I do?" They're like, "Oh, just take a break." But it wasn't giving me results until I started going more towards that holistic path of, like, looking at myself as a mind, soul, and body, and then focusing on different things, again, from yoga, from sound healing, from spirituality. I always tell people I was never a spiritual person. Like, if you met me 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I would make fun of people who did yoga, like, to the point where, like, I was like, "Oh, namaste," like, really ridiculous. So I was never grew up in a spiritual background. I have very Catholic religious. So all of these things seem very woo-woo-wee or like airy-fairy. And I think also there are still some of those kind of things out there, which is not the type of spirituality or wellness I relate to. But when I started getting to the core of it, it just started to transform, obviously, my health and then my mindset and then my whole entire energetic being. And then the more I started talking about it, I started getting feedback, clients, you know, transformation, success. And then I think it's probably a year ago is when I started to shift the mindset of, okay, this is just something I do to help people, versus this is something I can do to help people and make a living off of it, right, and have a business where I'm able to do both. Because for a long time, and I think a lot of people have this, it's like, okay, my money comes from my day job, and this other stuff that I do is for fun, is for helping people. It's on the side.
Yeah.
And now for the past year, combining the two and realizing, yeah, I'm helping people and yeah, there is value. So why aren't I charging, you know, why aren't I creating a business? Why aren't I able to make a living off of it? So just doing a lot of, like, both spiritual money mindset work and information is kind of, I'm still in that journey, but definitely a few steps ahead in kind of like shifting and realizing there's a lot of spirituality linked to money and linked to
very
women.
So before we dive into spirituality and money, business, how that comes together, that's definitely our passion area. So we want to really dive deep in that. Can you tell us some of the things that did help you in the beginning? Because spirituality tends to be such a wide term for a lot of people to understand, and it means different things to different people. So what did help you? As you said, you weren't getting answers from the traditional route. So then what did you do?
In terms of my health or in terms of my finance?
Of your health, actually. Yeah, because I think that's where it starts, right?
So I think one of the biggest things was, like, the first thing is Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. That made so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. Learning about the different energy types, learning that I was a Vata or had a lot of air energy, literally, I checked every single box, because every single health issue, every single mental and spiritual issue, I checked, and I was like, what the doctors, they were looking at me in a different way versus, like, you know, this holistic, they look at you as a whole being, as an energetic being. So when they looked at me in that sense of not just like, oh, these are my symptoms and these are my cures, but oh, this part of your anxiety is causing gut issues because your mind is connected via your vagus nerve to your digestive system, or your parasympathetic, like learning all of these things. So the first thing was Ayurveda for my health.
That's amazing. I so resonate with that because I'm also a Vata type. And when I read that, I'm like, oh my God, this is written for me. Like, who's done this?
I totally understand. So that was the first pivot. And then you started diving deeper into yoga?
So in my yoga teacher training, of course, the chakras.
Yes.
And then learning specifically about, for me, and then I'll get into human design because it comes here too as well, learning about the different chakras and understanding, again, I had a lot of health issues, gut issues. That's my sacral chakra. That's our womb. That's, you know, our sexuality. And a lot of these things, I had, again, horrible, horrible cramps. Sometimes I wouldn't get my period for 2 months. And the gut issue, all of my problems were there in the gut or also the sacral chakra.
Yeah.
So when I started to actually focus less, I guess I eat less healthy now, but I am healthier because I don't worry so much about what I eat. I instead focus on, like, how am I connecting to my sacral chakra? How am I, you know, either through meditation, journaling, reflecting, energetic work, kind of like just taking care of that part of my body. Or reshifting my mindset to think of, like, the shame of sexuality, of being a woman, always having to hide that part, or thinking that part of me is only for producing babies. No, there's so many things.
Yeah, very much.
So then I got into the chakras and the sacral, and then I got into human design, which is super in connected to what I do, soul purpose, because soul purpose is all about living in alignment to who you are. And a lot of times what happens is we grow up in life and we're told other things. We're told, do this, do that, do that. This is not who we are. Who we are, we come in as, like, this pure soul and we know. But then we get kind of covered with all these other things and they become limiting beliefs. They become our negative mindset. So I help people clear that so that they can remember who they are. Wow. And one of the things I use is human design. And that was another, like,
huge. It really is.
Yes, it's really a minefield. But I resonate with what you said about sacral as well. I've had my own challenges. And it's not just about sexuality, like you said. I think for me, till today, I'm uncovering layers of pleasure, which doesn't come very easily to me. Even the big topic Rupali is aware of for me at the moment is just being able to rest, or the joy in doing less. Versus the very masculine energy of hustling or constantly go, 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 which doesn't lead to more results, I have to say.
No. Actually, it makes it worse, right?
Because
you're continuously trying to do something that's not happening.
Exactly. And it goes into your eating habits, like you said, and just feeling the joy, you know, is we inhibit ourselves from that so much that it, you know, permeates every layer of our being. So really resonate with that, and that is one type of lack or abundance, right? And then human design obviously adds so much more to it. I think we probably need a separate podcast episode on just
it's so much
design. But maybe you just want to introduce it to our listeners so we can have something to fall back on for future.
So human design, it's kind of new in the sense that it was kind of channeled or discovered in the 1980s, so it's a newer kind of thing by someone named Ra'uru, and he was a teacher, and then all of a sudden he kind of got this download of human design and created it out. And I love it because it's a mix of different schools of spirituality. So when you look at human design, the chart is super confusing. It's okay, but once you understand, like, you will see that it's a combination of astrology. So a lot of people's like, oh, that's just like my zodiac sign. Like, yes, there's a then the Vedic system with the chakras. However, the chakras are called centers in human design, so it's a bit different, but they do have similarities. Then you have the different lines, which you would see, which are called the meridians, which come from traditional Chinese medicine. And then you have these little dots, they're called gates. And then the gates come from something called Kabbalah, I can't pronounce it right, but it's which comes from, like, a Jewish spirituality. So it's kind of combining different schools of spirituality, because I hate it when people are like, oh, this type of spirituality is better than this. I was like,
no. Yeah. No. It's all the same, really, yeah. Isn't it? So, like, when I compare my kind of charts and reports from Ayurveda to human design to my emotions to my body to my kind of just overall holistic being, it's all so aligned. Everything is telling me the exact same thing.
100%. 100%. Exactly.
And I think it helps us understand ourselves. It has helped both of us understand ourselves a lot more. I'm a manifestor. She's a manifestor generator.
Yes.
And we have the same 2-2-4. Is that lines?
Yeah. So that's like the personality. Or the profile. Yeah. So that's super interesting because you'll find a lot of times people be attracted to
Yeah. And we're so similar in so many ways. And we have that dichotomy of, I think 2-4 is the hermit opportunist.
Yeah.
You guys will know more. But it's exactly what we see in ourselves. Like, we'd rather just sit in our homes than not interact with anyone.
And then when we're with people, you kind of fueled by it too, right? So yeah. I think all of these things don't necessarily tell me how to be, but they confirm for me that actually everything I've experienced in my life is completely in alignment with my energy type and my being.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was in corporate before, and I found myself uncomfortable in the routine, in sitting on a desk from the very start. And I couldn't explain to anyone why, and it seems like the norm around us, right? And now it makes sense, because if I'm a manifestor, it was grating against all my core, I don't know, beliefs or the core structure of my being. And it makes sense now. So I can be a lot more compassionate towards myself, just understanding that.
And accepting that, I think, is what helped you give birth to Picado, helped you kind of give birth to Trading Mom, this fantastic female. So it's also, like, it's amazing how it all falls together.
And with our energies as well, we know that we kind of ebb and flow. So it's super relevant to every day, it's very action based.
Yeah,
it's not just up in the air spirituality. So.
Exactly. And I'll just explain a little bit, because if some people aren't aware, like the manifestors, the projectors, and the reflectors, they call it an inconsistent energy flow. So basically it's up and down, like you said, an ebb and flow. At the same time, you're not meant to constantly like go, 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 like a generator or a manifesting generator. But in that sense, you will find like maybe in 2 hours you can get something done for the whole week. So for example, I have like a client, she's a projector, and she's like had to create 5 videos for the week. And she's like, okay, I'll do one every day. No, the first day she couldn't, the second day she didn't.
Yeah.
Then the third day she just felt a wave of inspiration and she just pumped out those 5 videos, and they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Because she listened to her own energetic flow of like, okay, I don't have to do one a day. And then by the end of the week, she had 5 amazing videos versus forcing herself to do one a day. So it's that's the inconsistent, but at the same time, you're still going to get there. That's
Yeah, I think even with like generators, for example, while we are energetic beings and we're able to draw energy from our sacral, you should only kind of use, doesn't mean you have the energy, you use it on anything that comes your way, right?
Exactly.
So that's the part that I've had to learn on, where maybe I am kind of, oh yeah, I have the energy, why not do it? But then at night, how fulfilled am I with what I've spent my energy on? And if I could be drained because I've really overexerted myself, but on things that I'm not passionate about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, same thing as a generator, learning like, I have lots of energy, but it doesn't mean I need to use it all. And being very like cutthroat, yes or no, yes or no. And anytime I have yes and I do it, I actually like, you know, go, versus what I was doing before and why I was so burnt out. Is because I kept just saying yes to everything. I was like a bit of a people pleaser, a bit of a perfectionist. And now I'm like, no, you did it. It feels good. It's not perfect. You put it out and it's been flowing so much.
It's amazing. I think it links back to just generally being in tune with our bodies, no matter what type you are. If your body is kind of saying no and your mind is saying yes, then that might be something you should reconsider in terms of, do I really need to go and do this? Or is there a way I can just say no?
Yep.
And we don't need to justify anything to anyone at all, right? Like, I'm tired. Oh, I've got this thing. No, I won't make it. No, actually, I just won't make it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the world or our schools, universities, everything is so geared towards this discipline modality, which I don't think works for many people, if not all. or the typical generator style, but even then there's no protection of energy that's ever mentioned, taught. So I think as adults then we kind of learn this new way of managing our energy, which is overwhelming to learn at
and it's not accepted either by so many people. Even people that are in that school of thought are hesitant.
Exactly. And then you come across these motivational quote-unquote videos on social media about, oh, if you keep going, blah blah blah.
No.
I want to like slap the whole of
them. Yeah,
it just does not resonate.
This is why YouTube is not a good idea.
I know, this is why
Akai and Akalyani are excellent ideas, because you kind of, it's for you.
That's what I would say. Like, there's a lot of information on YouTube, on the internet, but it's not all good information or the right information. That's also, you need to make sure you're getting the right information for you, because like, for example, I'll just like intermittent fasting, they have all of these like, oh, it's so good for you, it regulates your metabolism, gives you lots of energy. It messed up my body so much, but here I was, like, this was years ago when I was figuring it out, like, why is my, you know, my gut so messed up, why is my body, and there's all these, you know,
gurus telling you
intermittent, and it probably does really help some people, like men.
Really helped me.
Men, yeah,
I thought,
but for me it was not.
Yeah.
It was not, and there is no, I think we were talking about this earlier, there's no plug and play system.
No.
So yeah, it might work for this person or that person, but how do you know? So I always shift the focus when I'm working with clients, if we start with getting to know you first, and then from there you're easy.
Exactly.
It's easier for you to make decisions which are good in alignment to you, because you know who you are. Like, do not tell me to wake up at 5 in the morning.
No, me too.
No, I am not.
I'm so glad we're
I'm
on
not
that
part
same
of the 5 a.m. club. I'm,
that book puts me off.
No.
I see it in the bookstore and I'm like, no,
no.
I woke away.
I am not productive in the morning. I am sleepy.
Yes.
I want 1 hour of just nothing.
Yes.
And then the rest of the day, I am way more productive.
Yes.
But 5 a.m. club works for some people.
Look, my best ideas come to me at midnight. So
mine come when I'm driving in the car and I'm like listening, and I'm like, gosh, a lot of my videos you see on Instagram, I'm just like pulled over and I'm like making a reel, because I'm like,
how cool is that?
Content is really good, and I'm not even a morning person or a night person, so I don't know if I'm not in the 5 a.m. club, not in the midnight.
But that's good. You
but
don't need
okay.
Yeah, we don't need to be boxed, and we don't.
No.
I think consistency gets prized a lot in this, and so when we're not consistent, we feel like we are broken.
Yes.
But we're not meant to be consistent, right? You're meant to be consistent with your body. So if your body is saying 5 a.m. is excellent on one day, but then the following day you want to wake up at noon, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep thinking back to my childhood where my mom's like, oh, it's not good to wake up at noon. And I'm like, says who?
Yeah.
And then I got married and my husband's like, it's not good to sleep so much. I'm like, says who? Like, you don't want to sleep, don't sleep.
So until now, the conversation seems quite disjointed to finance and money, but we assure everyone that this is really the foundation. So let's kind of go into how this connects to finance, money. This is a big like area of interest for Rupali and me, and a lot of our journey is in understanding this. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, Kai.
So getting into human design, and as a generator, my powerhouse is my sacral chakra.
Yes.
And so connecting back to what I was saying earlier about my health issues, and all about everything was in the sacral chakra. All the problems were in the sacral chakra. And then realizing my power is in the sacral chakra. So from there, learning more about, you know, like you were saying, what is joy? What is pleasure? And this doesn't have to be sexual. It can be like the simple act of like staying home and sitting with my cats.
Yes.
Be the happiest person.
Yeah. Eating ice cream without guilt.
Or like, and then it got into the feminine energy then abundance, and the feminine energy and abundance. As women, the feminine energy, we have this receiving, where it's all about receiving, right? So this is something I was never good at.
Oh man.
I could not receive
Same.
I could not receive money. I could not receive any. And even I see a lot of my clients, like when someone comes to me, like, oh yeah, but you know, I did this.
Exactly.
It was easy. We try to downplay it.
Exactly.
And there's no need, actually.
Oh,
we are the hero of our story, and we should remain that.
I worked hard for whatever. And
and thank you. I'll take it.
Exactly. So this idea of receiving is connected very much to abundance. And then that's when, again, doing that energetic work first with my sacral chakra and then moving it up to my mindset of shifting from a scarcity, which is what I had before, to an abundance mindset. And I really want to say this on the call because when 5 or 6 years ago is when my now husband and I were dating, we moved in together and we had to have a conversation about money and, you know, because we're going to share house expensive. Yeah. I kid you not, if you met me 5, 6 years ago, the thought of money, I would just start crying. There was so much shame. There was so much, like, I don't know, disgust. There was just so much fear around money that whenever I started talking about, and it was with my someone I trusted, I could not speak about money. I would just, so I just want to, that's where I came from. So I didn't have this like, money is coming. It was horrible topic for me. It was a no-no.
That's something that blocks it coming from coming to you, right? That's how your energetic being is linked to abundance, where you listen to all these podcasts. You know, our listeners may be wondering what random crap is this? But actually, unless you work on your energy and your mindset, everything in your reality will not kind of play out the way you want it to, or the way you think you want it to, because you're scared. So something I read recently was, if your friend was to become an overnight millionaire, how would you feel towards that person? And you've stayed where you are, basically, because that tells you how you think of yourself if you were to make that $1 million. And that's when you kind of, that's when it comes to you and says, oh well, mentally maybe I feel like, oh, I would love to be a millionaire, I could do this and that and that. But that reaction of someone else becoming a millionaire, if it's a negative one, that tells you a lot about how you feel about yourself and what's blocking it for you, right?
That's so interesting. And I've been recently especially been really aware of this. So I'm a few months pregnant, and this time I've been really lucky to have a lot of friends giving me stuff, just literally giving it to me. And I've got a good network that's buying stuff off a gift registry. It is so overwhelming for me to receive all the stuff that I've received. I don't know how I can thank enough. I want to almost bend over backwards in gratitude, because there's so much of that I feel in terms of, you know, receiving it. It's a very overwhelming sensation. Or if you've had to ever leave your job and depend on your partner's earnings, or if you've had money from the family, all of these are so difficult for a lot of us to receive from, because we're taught to be, you know, self-made, we're taught to work for ourselves, and that's the only way you can accept what's given, to earn it, basically. That's been a very relevant topic. So the fact that you speak about receiving being the basis of earning is superb. I mean, it's blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, I think even for men and women both, actually, I think what I've kind of seen and come across is that the sacral chakra is often in imbalance for both men and women for different reasons. Women, because we are programmed to say, be self-sufficient, you know, kind of be your own boss, do this and that, be, you know, on your own money, don't rely on anyone. And then men, who are told, you've got to be the strong person, you've got to kind of, you know, you're the guy, be the guy. And then they don't communicate the emotions because they suddenly feel it's wrong to do so. So that, absolutely, both of that is wrong.
No, and I know this connects back to this idea of patriarchy, which in spirituality we talk about. And it's not against men, because patriarchy, this system, hurts men. It makes men feel like they have to be tough all the time, that they can't be soft, that they can't show their emotions and also open up, which is, like, a lot of times men struggle with communicating because they're told from the patriarchy, you must be tough, you must be strong. But you can be tough and strong and have emotions.
And be authentic, right?
Yeah. So that thing is really, like, at the core of, like, what I want to pick apart, both for men and for women. And again, I like to use the word, like, I'm not going to earn or chase, I'm attracting, like attracting it. And I also really want to say, I'm not sitting at home just with my crystals meditating and being like, I'm attracting money.
No, exactly.
No, I am putting myself out there. I am letting people know that I have, you know, you can work with me. And then, yes, I will go sit at home with my crystals and do some energetic work. Yeah.
So you said you came from a place where you just couldn't mention money.
No.
And then what does energy work after that look like? Because again, I love the details and it's different for different people.
So it's even the smallest thing. Like every month when I get my period, I am so grateful for it. Before, I used to hate it. I used to like just treat it like I was like a disease or something. Now I fully nourish myself. I put little sometimes I'll put crystals on my lower stomach. Yeah. I have this little essential oil I put on my womb. And I have zero, man, it's insane. Even my husband is like, you're so different now on your period. Before I was like a roller coaster. I had to take like 3-4 painkillers a day for the cramps. But because I've started literally from the simplest thing to just putting my hand on my womb and just like thanking her for coming,
yeah,
putting crystals, putting essential oil, those little things. And also I kind of visualize that I'm letting go or I'm shedding anything when I'm like creating this like release when I'm on my flow. So it's like from that, which I do every month when I get that, to literally like shifting my mindset of like, what do I read? What do I listen to? I kid you not, I have like 10 different abundance playlists.
Yeah.
Like either just tones of the sacral chakra playing, or it's songs about like money comes to me. And look, they're not like, some I have are very like spiritual, meditative, but some are rap. Like, yeah. I'm not even joking, like rap, hip hop songs.
They talk about it a lot.
Yeah, so I'm like, so
your $1 million bills.
Exactly, or like, yes, exactly. All of this, like having this in, you know, when I'm in my car, listening to these abundance playlist songs, to little moments with my sacral chakra, a lot of journaling, a lot of visualization of like an orange color in my womb, which is my sacral chakra, and little things like hip stretches or these things, because then the yoga, and also like with my branding, I'm like orange.
Yes.
Orange is my
Bring
color
it, yeah.
it's
everywhere
my color, so like having these things,
so
it's really little things, but I'm a big believer in doing small things over a long period of time. Maybe later in my life I'll say something different. Like, I'm not someone who I'm gonna go to the middle of the Amazon to do an ayahuasca retreat to heal my womb. That would be great. Yeah. I think that's amazing if you do it, but if you come back and you do none of the work, then there's no...
It doesn't help.
It doesn't... There's no... It's like temporary, right? You go on these... And I think that's what I see a lot of people. They go to these retreats, they go to these places, they go to these healers. I'm sure they have amazing experiences, but they think that they come back healed.
They think they come back healed, and that's your mind again, right? You thinking and not feeling it.
And it lasts for like a few months, I'm sure, the effects, but if you don't put it into your daily practice, weekly practice, whatever you do, it's no offense, it's gone.
No, and I think we've all been in these situations where, at least speaking for Rupali and myself, we love signing up to courses and kind of investing in that learning. But then there comes a point where you've done the learning and you've done the exercises with the course, but then it very much comes down to changing your thoughts moment to moment, right? And that's obviously the hardest bit to do, because you can't pay anyone for it. There's no instant gratification. It has to be done over time.
Yes.
And the music, like you said, reading, podcasts, all aid into keeping your vibe high and keeping in that zone.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people stop resonating with you when you're on this journey as well, which is absolutely fine, because they don't align with you when you're on the journey, and their journey might be very different. But I find this quite tricky as well. And this is probably the definition of consistency that we should be looking at in terms of being committed to that change moment to moment, instead of doing visualization every single day, which a lot of times doesn't resonate, or it feels forced, and then it loses its purpose, right?
Yeah, and these little things feel more kind of doable. That's why you're able to kind of do it over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
I think the common theme I've picked up over this conversation is whether it's to do with your period and slowing down, or whether it's to do with being that feminine energy and receiving. It's, I think one theme that I pick up is there's no need to overexert yourself.
Yeah.
To slow down at times, and when you do that, naturally your body kind of comes back in itself and kind of does what it's therefore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, I like to see like the consistency, because as a Vata, I'm very inconsistent, but I have been consistent because I tell myself I have seasons. So I go through seasons, and we do this as women through our cycle, but also like, this is my kapha season, which is my, when I'm on my flow, I'm slowing it down.
Yes.
But after kapha, I go into my pitta, my fire, where I'm like for 1 or 2 weeks, which also matches, you know, our flow. Like, I'm ready to go. And then after that, I go into my Vata. So my consistency isn't day to day. It's either weekly or monthly. Yeah. I also have like these moments where I'm like, this whole month is about the sacral chakra. Mm-hmm. So whatever I want is just the thing that I've realized was when you allow yourself or give yourself permission to like, this is my season of fun and joy. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I did, I was like, oh my God, I told myself, you can buy whatever you want.
Oh, wow.
You can eat
that already sounds amazing.
Right? Like, I told myself, you can do whatever you want for this month. Yeah. And then the mind came in. I was like, oh my God, you're going to be broke. You're going to go into debt. You're going to get super fat. But the moment I gave myself permission,
yeah,
I did not overspend. I did not overeat.
This is it.
I was the happiest I've ever been. And because I gave myself permission to be.
Yeah.
I did. And I stayed in that. And then when I came out of my sacral chakra phase or month, whoa, I just got so many things done because I had let my body rest. I had listened to my body. I gave it permission.
Yeah.
And that's like when you're in that state, that's when the abundance flows. That's when the clients, the business goes. I'm not even joking.
Yeah, of course.
At that cliffhanger, we're going to finish today's episode and we'll be back with the same conversation continuing next week.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.